Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that you help us to hear your words in a new way today. Help each one of us to realize just how special we are in your sight. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is from John 15. It follows the passage about the true vine, where Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. You are the vine, I am the branches. Verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from you, my Father have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Until I was about 12 years old, my family lived in a really close-knit neighborhood in Avoca, Pennsylvania. Our block on Grove Street held about a dozen kids within a few years of my age. Either kick the can or kickball or some other game in the alley behind my grandparents' house were popular things to do in the evening. Everyone would line up, and two of the older kids would pick sides. I always hoped to be picked first, but you guessed it. The klutz, Peggy Jane, was usually picked last. I wasn't necessarily the youngest or the smallest, but at a very early age, I figured it out. I was never going to be an all-star athlete. My brother Tom, who was 3 years younger, was always picked before me, and he always played a lot better than I ever dreamed. Luckily, my parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, who all lived within a mile of us, found ways to make me feel important in ways other than athletics. I was a good student. I was a Girl Scout who loved camping. And I was very active in our church, except, of course, singing in the choir. I did pretty well in most areas of life. I also had something else going for me. From a very young age, I knew that I was a child of God and that Jesus had chosen me. In about fourth or fifth grade, when a missionary came to our church, that missionary conducted an altar call, and I responded. Now, this is Langcliffe Presbyterian Church, very Scotch and very Presbyterian. Altar calls were not common in this sanctuary. So after I responded, my parents questioned my motives for going forward. And after a while, they became convinced that, yes, I did know what I was doing, and yes, I truly was giving my life to Jesus. Knowing that Jesus had chosen me, that I was a child of God, brought me through so many ups and downs in life. Later on in life, in my late 30s and 40s when I began to acknowledge the call to ministry, I did so with awe and amazement. I still can't believe that I was called to preach. The young girl who went forward never saw herself as a pastor. In fact, in those days in the Presbyterian Church, the most I could have hoped for would have been to be some type of a superintendent of Sunday school or a Bible study leader. Women weren't even ordained as elders and trustees when I was young. Women who were ministers' wives had Bible study responsibilities, but they certainly didn't stand behind the pulpit. I don't recall our church having deacons, but the Ladies Aid Society was the place for women to serve. I remember my grandmothers, both Mac and Stahl, serving well as members of Ladies Aid. A lot's changed in the last 50 to 60 years, maybe creeping on 70 years. Just after our Easter service in Verona, one of the longtime members of the congregation who had returned for the holiday commented to me how different things were from when he was growing up in Verona. He commented that women didn't even take collection, let alone have speaking parts in the service when he was growing up. Yet even then, women knew that they were chosen by God. It's not about what we do within these walls of this or any other house of worship. It's about how we go out and bear fruit in the world. And women and men have done so as God's chosen from the beginning when the earliest followers went out to serve. Each one of us has been called or chosen by Jesus. It's an overwhelming honor, but with the honor comes a great responsibility. Jesus chose you to be one of his disciples, just as he chose the fishermen, the tax collectors, the dealer in purple cloth, and the outcasts. Whether you were chosen to preach or teach, to serve the elderly, to provide music, to visit the invalids, to provide delicious food for various functions, to send cards, or to make phone calls, you were chosen by God to have a role in his family. As I was thinking of this word chosen, I was reminded of the term the Presbyterians are known as, which is the frozen chosen. Now, whoever came up with that phrase never experienced the passing of the peace among our congregation. It's a wonder she didn't bring her bubble machine today. Last week, Matt Miller acknowledged that there is a spirit alive in this body of Christ. There she goes again. She's so happy with her bubble machine. Matt Miller acknowledged that he could feel the spirit alive in this body of Christ, and I was so pleased to hear that he could feel it, because it's here. We have the spirit within us, and it's our responsibility to take that spirit and go out into the world, to go beyond our walls, to go beyond our communities, to be Christ to everyone we meet. Along with the honor of being chosen comes responsibility. Each one is chosen by God to follow him. John 3:16 clearly states that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is our responsibility to believe that we are chosen, to believe that we are special messengers of Christ. We have the responsibility to go out and bear fruit. We're not chosen to come and sit in our pews each week and call it quits there. We are chosen to go out into the world and bear that fruit, whether we do it through our actions, our deeds, or our words is irrelevant. We were called to share the good news of Christ. We have been appointed to do so, as verse 16 states. You did not choose me, but I chose you. We must do more than rest on our laurels, more than brag about our chosen status. We must do so by showing our love of God to all. I have appointed you to go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So we have the responsibility to those who are unbelievers, those who are questioning their belief in a greater power, those who we might not want to show our love to at all. We all know some of those. But we have a responsibility to show and to bear fruit to everyone. Being chosen isn't a piece of cake. The disciples found that out even before the crucifixion. Why else would they have gone into hiding? Sometimes acknowledging our status as children of God is not an easy thing. But if we take our call, and each one of us are called to be God's chosen people, we must bear fruit. We must leave our pews and show others what it is to have a belief in a loving, forgiving God. Soon we will share the bread and the fruit of the vine around the communion table. As we do so, let us give thanks for our status as the chosen. Not the frozen chosen, but the chosen. Let us also strive to find ways to share that fruit with others. We are commanded to love one another. Let us do so with open hearts and open minds. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love of each one of us. Help us to take that unconditional love and be instruments of your peace. Enable us to bear fruit in a world which is often full of doubt, hatred, and pain. Help us to bring sunshine and light to those who are troubled, those who are lost, and those who are alone. We are your disciples. We ask your guidance in our and leadership in each one of our lives every day. Amen.